Yesterday we began discussing the necessity of a bezdin for geiris and the qualifications for dayanim and psula dayanim in the context of geiris. We ended off by quoting some of Ramosha's tshuvas as relating to the kashrus or lack of kashrus of conservative rabbis, or rabbis serving in conservative congregations. There's a related tshuva for Ramosha, which doesn't really neatly fit anywhere else, but might as well mention it now, which is the propriety or how to address requests from conservative rabbis to use our mikvos. This is a issue that many communities have faced. So Moshe has a tshuva, Yoredei Chelik Bei Simen Kuf Kafei, Yoredei Chelik Bei Simen Kuf Kafei. Question was, the local conservative rabbis wanted to use the local Orthodox mikvah, the local mikvah, to do geirus. How should the community respond? So Moshe writes, obviously if we're dealing with geiris done by conservative rabbis, that's not going to meet our standards for geiris. They're not going to insist on real kabbalas ha-mitzvos because they themselves don't keep all mitzvos, so they're not going to demand more of the geirim than they demand of themselves. So he writes that the appropriate response should be not to allow them to use the mikvah for their geiris. But Moshe says it has to be done in a way that's going to avoid machlokes. So you should recommend to the conservative rabbi that they have this prospective geir undergo a proper halacha geiris. But if they're not going to listen to that piece of advice, and they'll say, we're capable of doing it ourselves, then Ramosha suggests the following. So if the conservative rabbi contributed to the construction or the upkeep of the mikvah, so then there's no way of preventing him from using it. But if they didn't contribute to the construction of the mikvah, so then you can say, This mikvah is only available for regular tefillas nashim or for whoever contributed to the construction of the mikvah. That's what Moshe writes. So in some communities, the mikvah fee for geiris is deliberately set at a much higher rate than the standard mikvah fee for any normal use of the mikvah in order to discourage its use by non-halachic converts. Yeah.
But if you applied that, would you have to also apply that to other, let's say, Orthodox congregations who are farther away, as opposed to mikvah or scenarios like that?
What do you mean?
I mean, if there was another, let's say, an Orthodox shul 25 miles away that
right.
didn't have a mikvah there for gavers,
right.
so you wanted to use...
Other emotions, trying to provide a convenient excuse or a convenient out to how the mikvah can politely decline to allow its use. But it doesn't mean that it will be held to that standard universally. Ramosha is trying to provide an excuse. But the reality is that in many communities, the reason that the mikvah fee for geirus, aside from the fact that geirus is bayom, so you have to open the mikvah special, it's different time period, but I think the reason that in certain communities the mikvah fee is significantly higher for geiris is to discourage its use by non-halachic rabbis. Okay. Rav Sternbach has a tshuva, tshuvas van hagos chelik aleph simen tuf reish yud beis, chelik aleph simen tuf reish yud beis, in which he points out another potential psul dayanim, another potential psul for geiris. Din chosha mishpat is hanotos karladon dina betelim. That if a person takes money in order to sit in a din Torah, so that din Torah is not valid. Schar batala you're allowed to take, but excessive money would invalidate the din. So Sternbach points out that should be true for geiris as well. That if someone takes an inordinate amount of money for geiris, so that geiris should be invalid. That should be equivalent to a notel schar ladun. Even schar batal is not so pashut whether you could take. Now we find that by chalitza could be you can't take schar batala. So by geiris we need a bezin mikra din. Even schar batala is questionable, but definitely an ordinary amount of money would be considered a nota schar ladun, which would raise serious questions about the validity of the geiris. This is an issue. There's some people that take a lot of money for geiris. One of the most striking counts in the indictment of the former chief rabbi was a couple cases of inordinate money transferring hands in the context of geiris. There was one of the allegations was that there was another rabbi in L.A. who split, I forget if it was $300,000 or $360,000 between the former chief rabbi and himself to facilitate a geiris. They generally find that there's an inverse proportion between the quality of the geiris and the amount that the geiris costs. The more money that a geiris costs, the less rigorous a geiris it is, both in terms of the quality and the amount of time that the process takes. Because more money will get you faster geiris, and more money will get you a lower quality, lower standard geiris. That's unfortunately an issue. In our Bate Din, we have firm policies about how much money Bate Din are allowed to take. Minimal administrative costs. In our system, we have an internal protocol that Bate Din can't take in more than $700 in administrative costs through the process, give or take a little bit, and we keep to that. But unfortunately, there are some people who are notel harbe schar for geiris, and that raises serious questions about the validity of such geiris. Rabbi Willi pointed out that maybe it could be melambi close a little bit on some of these people, that if the money is being charged for courses, for education, not for the geiris itself, that wouldn't be notel schar ladin. You can only take that so far. Because if you're charging, maybe you could argue that if you actually give courses and you're charging a few thousand dollars, so that's a reasonable, maybe excessive, but at least within the realm of reason to charge for a whole series of course of classes. But if you're not really giving the classes, or if you're charging tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, so then you couldn't reasonably consider that money for the classes either. Okay, so that's unfortunately an issue. Yeah?
Am I missing the jump, though? It seems that Rav Moshe was talking about charging for the use of the mikvah. That seems to be different.
Totally different topic. The first thing we spoke about was Rav Moshe, how to avoid letting conservative rabbis use the mikvah. Then I jumped to a new topic. I'm sorry if the transition wasn't clear, which is the issue of a no-till schar ladin.
So in other words, but if I understand correct, to charge this geiris process, you could charge really a $2,000 sounds reasonable if you're giving like the courses over a long period of time.
Yeah, if you were to charge for the courses.
Right, and then to charge for the use of the mikvah is also justified.
The mikvah has nothing to do with the bezdin. That's the mikvah fee. Right. The mikvah fees go to the mikvah.
Are they allowed to charge?
So that's questionable. It's our internally we don't allow dayanim to get paid for sitting on geiris. If you know, some dayanim work as full time employees of a bezdin, so they're getting a salary from the bezdin, not getting a salary for any particular geiris case that they sit on. I think a reasonable argument could be made that reasonable schar batala wouldn't possible. That could be acceptable, but beyond reasonable schar batala, the amount of money that you'd be getting for other work you do during the same time, beyond that, that would be a serious question on Nota Schar Ladin.
Is Schar Batala allowed to vary based on the person? A young yeshiva guy, you know, maybe something, but a big fancy scholar in residence, you could charge.
So even if one were to, that is possible, but even that is still somewhat limited.
Right, but yes. If someone wants to make a few $100 because they're spending all day on this.
Right. I mean, usually it shouldn't take all day.
Right.
Yeah. Not a shita, is a suggestion that maybe that's a lima's close. Yeah.
So, based on that idea, Uh-huh. Let's say someone's a professional, it's offsetting time he could use, let's say being a doctor or a lawyer, which charges a significant hourly rate, which is considered like...
Yeah, okay, so then maybe that's legitimate scarbatala, but that's still somewhat limited. It's not tens of thousands of dollars. Okay. Rav Schechter has another observation in terms of Psulei Dayanim, which is that when it comes to Geiris, there could be a Psul Nogei as well. But if you're an Ogei Bedav, if you have a vested interest in something, so then it's not appropriate to say it as a Dayan in such a case. So Rav Schechter thinks that the sponsoring rabbi, the rabbi that's teaching the candidate for Geiris, maybe a little bit of a Nogei Bedav. So it's inappropriate that the sponsoring rabbi, the one who's working with the candidate through the process and teaching them, should be sitting on the Bez Din for Geiris. Our internal policy, Belav Hachi, is to avoid using a sponsoring rabbi on the Bez Din, even if the sponsoring rabbi is himself one of the Dayanim on the Bez Din, because there should be an independent group of Dayanim who independently determine that this is an appropriate Geiris to do, and shouldn't be swayed by their closer involvement in the case. Judah.
Seems like a sensible policy, but just out of curiosity, like, and before there was CPS, like, wouldn't have been that for the most part, like, if, you know, there was like one rabbi.
Yes, that was always the case, and even in GPS, we do have a possibility of an exception, where as long as there were three Dayanim that independently were Mekabel the Ger, the sponsoring rabbi could be on the actual Bez Din for the Geirus, under certain circumstances with permission. The standard mode of operation of the American rabbinate for decades was that the sponsoring rabbi, or the de facto sponsoring rabbi, was the one who got together the Bez Din and did the Geirus. So Rav Schechter would think that's not ideal. Maybe it's problematic. The same thing Rav Schechter points out would be the case. You could argue that this may not be as severe, but also because the nature of Ger Katan may be different, which we'll get to. So let's say you have a adopted child that you're being Megayer as a Ger Katan al Das Bez Din. So can the adoptive father sit on that Bez Din? It's also something that was, I wouldn't say common because it's not a common situation, but definitely... over the years, there have been such situations where someone with some rabbinic credentials adopted a child and sat on the Bez Din. So Rav Schechter also thinks that is questionable whether that's appropriate. In the Sefer Geiris Kol Chasa, Perek Zayin, Seif Tes, he points out that even though we require, definitely L'chachila, we require Bez Din for the Kabbalah Samitzvos, and we require a Bez Din for the meal, and we require a Bez Din for the tefillah, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same Bez Din, the same herkev, the same group of Dayanim for all of those. In theory, you could have one group of Rabbanim that does the Kabbalah HaMitzvot, and another group of Rabbanim that does the milah, and another group of Rabbanim that does the tefillah, in theory. This is actually the practice in Eretz Yisrael, the Maracha Giyor. So they typically, they have the actual Dayanim, the bigger Dayanim, the official Dayanim, they decide when someone's going to be Megayer, so they do a formal Kabbalah HaMitzvos in front of them in their Bez Din meeting, and then they have the people who work in the office, so to speak, sit in the actual Bez Din for the tefillah. And I assume they do a formal Kabbalah HaMitzvos have the tefillah as well as required, but they have different herkevim for different parts of the process. And we also lichachila, the preference would be that the same Bez Din sit for both the milah and for the tefillah. Often that's not practical, so sometimes it'll be a different herkev, a different group of the dayanim that sits for the milah and for the tefillah. If you do hatafa, so then usually you do the hatafa the same day as the milah, so then it's easy for the same Bez Din to sit. But if you do an actual milah, so there's a healing period between when you do the milah and when you do the tefillah, so it's not always so practical to have the same dayanim present for both the milah and the tefillah. Michael.
Rabbi just said that we first do milah then tefillah, not tefillah then milah.
That is correct. Okay. We'll talk about if the seder is makiv. We'll talk about how we know the seder is makiv, and if that's pasha.
What is it about the Mizan Tefillah? The doctor wants the same group of Beis Din as opposed to...
No, it's for everything, meaning usually the Kabbalah Samitzis usually goes together with the Mizan Tefillah. So I'm just saying that it lichachila is probably better to have the same people there for the whole process, but there's no halacha requirement that they do. So so often they don't.
Okay. Is there any of the three that are more preferable? Like, what do you mean?
Again, so usually the formal Kabbalah Samitzvah goes together with the tevila. So you do a Kabbalah Samitzvah out of the tevila. So usually in Eretz Yisrael they have this notion of at least the Maracha Giyur has this notion of a standalone Kabbalah Samitzvah, which I'm not sure, if it's not done in conjunction with the tefillah, it's not necessary, because the real Kabbalah Samitzvahs have the tefillah. So I'm not sure why, I'm not sure about that, but the way we operate, usually there should probably be a Kabbalah Samitzvahs before the Mila as well, so I think we try to do that also. The Kabbalah Samitzvahs by the Mila, Kabbalah Samitzvahs by the tefillah, the more robust Kabbalah Samitzvahs by the tefillah. But the Mila and the tefillah are really the two components that don't necessarily take place at the same time, so then... it's not uncommon for different herkav to sit on each of those.
But in other words, the way we do it more commonly in America, there is no third phase.
That's correct. The Kabbalah Samitzvahs goes together with the tevila.
Gotcha.
Okay. In the back of the Sefer Geiris Kol Chasa, he quotes, he has a few brief responses from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a riot to this fact that you don't need the same herkav for both the mila and the tevila. From a Gemara that we quoted yesterday, Yevamos Staf Memvava Medbeis, we quoted that yesterday because that was the story of the three Amorim who sat in a Besen together that ostensibly were related, even though maybe they weren't related, they probably weren't related, as you have to say. But that story was that the person came in front of Besen and said, I already had a meal, I didn't have a tefillah yet. So they said to him, the Amorim said, wait around till tomorrow and we'll do a tefillah. So you see from there, the meal was done with a different Besen, and now they're coming to this Besdin for Tevila, so you see that you don't need the same Besdin for Mila and for Tevila. Okay. I once stumbled across a case that was documented in our files at the RCA from the 1970s, in which the basic storyline was that there was a woman who converted with an RCA member, and she had a few children, and the children applied to day school, and the principal of the day school, as was appropriate, asked to see a copy of the conversion papers to check that everything was in order and they could accept the kids into the school. And he discovered when he looked at the conversion papers that the Beis Din had three dayanim, and two of the three dayanim were a father and a son. So that's a problem. That's what we call rabbinic malpractice. So, apparently, the story was, the woman was willing to undergo a geirus as well. A proper geirus, but she didn't want to have her children be megayer again. Okay, so she wasn't Jewish, her children not Jewish, her children need a geirus. So, they got a psak from a certain prominent rabbi in Eretz Yisrael that the children didn't need to do a geirus again. Why not? So let's go back and I'm going to go backwards now and then we'll come back and express what this psak was based on and why the psak is highly questionable. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, tells us in Makas and Daf Hei Mabez that there's a principle of Nimsa Echa Mehen Karva Pasol that in the context of Edus, if you have a Kas of Edim, so if one of the Edim is found to be a Karva Pasul, then the whole Edus is Batel, even if you have multiple Edim. So even if you have 100 Edim that are saying Edus together as a single Kas, Nimsa Echem and Karva Pasul, Edusan Bitela. Right? So that we all know. So there's Machlokes Tanaim there. Does this then apply to only Dine Nefashos? Or does this apply to Dine Maminis as well? This din of Nimsa Echem, Karva Pasul, and Hilchas Edus, is that only a din by dina nefashas, where there's a higher standard for edus, or does it apply to dina nefashas as well? Machlok is between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yossi says only dina nefashas, and Rebbe says dina maminus as well. And then that's a machlokas amarayim in the Gemara. How do we paskin? And we paskin like Rebbe. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch like Rebbe that the din applies to dinei maminus and dinei nefashis as well. Choshe mishpat simen lamin vav sif aleph. Chosha Mishpat Simulam Mavav Sif Aleph. So even when it comes to Dine Mamanis, if you have a Kas of Edom, you have a group of Edom that are testifying together, and Nimsa Echame and Karva Pasal, one of them is disqualified. So you don't say Tiskayim Edis Bashar, you don't say that you can rely on the remaining Edom. The whole Kas is knocked out. Okay? So that's clear that this din of Nimsa Echad Karva Pasal applies to Edom. Does it apply to Dayanim as well? Does the same principle, let's say you have a Bezdin of more than three Dayanim. So does this principle of Nimsa Echad Mehen and Karva Pasal apply? Let's say you have a Bezdin of five, and one of them is determined to be a Karva Pasal. So do we say that the Bezdin, the whole din, is invalid, the din has no standing? So there's a Mishnah in Yevamos, in the context of Chalitz on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. The Mishnah there says, Yevamos Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Chalitza Bishnayim O Bishlosha. So let's say you do Chalitz in front of two Dayanim or in front of three Dayanim. V'nimsa Echad Mehen Karva Pasal. And you find that one of the Dayanim is Karva Pasal, Chalitzasa Pisula. Okay, so according to Tanakhama, that Mishnah, we say Nimsa Echad Karva Pasal when it comes to Chalitza. And there's a minority opinion in Tanaim that is Machshir, but we pass in Lahalacha, Evan Ezer Simon Kuf Samach Tes Seif Beis, Evan Ezer Simon Kuf Samach Tes Seif Beis, we pass in that this din of Nimsa Echad Karva Pasal applies to Chalitza. What's less clear is what does that mean that it applies to Chalitza? Does it apply? It applies to Dayanim. So the Pitzkei Tshuva raises the question. Pitzkei Tshuva there in Sifkat and Gimel. Evan Ezer Simon Kuf Samach Tes Sifkat and Gimel. The Pitzkei Tshuva quotes from a Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Eidos. Mishnah Lamelech is Perek Tesayin Alacha Hei, Perek Tesayin Alacha Hei. So the Pitzkei Tshuva quotes from a Mishnah Lamelech who asked this question. This din of Nimsa Echad Mehen Karva Pasul B'dayanim. So does that apply the same way as you have by Edom? So even if you have five Dayanim, and one of them is Pasul, so the whole Bezdin is knocked off? Or is it only relevant in a case where I have three Dayanim, so then if Nimsa Echad Karva Pasul, I don't have three anymore, then I only have two. But in theory, if I had multiple Dayanim beyond three, and I knock out one of them, the remaining Dayanim could still function as Dayanim. So the Mishnah Mel points out, if you look at Rashi there in that sugya, in Yevamos Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Dibur Maskel Chalsa Bishnayim. Rashi Yevamos Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Dibur Maskel Chalsa Bishnayim. So Rashi there writes that what happens if you have a chalitza and nimsa echad karva pasal? The Rashi writes Hader Habalei Beis. So because I say nimsa karva pasal, I'm down to two dayanim. Mashma. That the only problem is that if I knock out one of the Dayanim, then I don't have a quorum. But in theory, if I started out with more Dayanim than three, and I knocked out one of them, I would still have a quorum of Dayanim, and the Din Torah may still be valid. Okay? So Rashi seems to say that it's only a practical consideration when it comes to Dayanim, as opposed to Edus, where if I have a cost of 100, I knock out one of them, everyone's disqualified. By Dayanim, it's practically, I need a quorum, I need my three Dayanim, so if I knock out one of them, I don't have three. But in a Hanami, if I started with more than three Dayanim, and I knocked out one of them, I would still have a kasher bezdin. That's the position of Rashi in Yevamos. But then he points out that there's a Nimuka Yosef and a Ritva there, who understand otherwise. The Ritva is Yevamos Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, Dibra Maska Lifer Sume, Ritva Kuf Aleph Amud Beis and Yevamos, Dibra Maska Lifer Sume. So they assume that no, the psul of Nimsa Echad Karva Pasal by Dayanim is equivalent to the psul of Nimsa Echad Karva Pasal by Edom. And that's the position of the Gaon as well. The Gaon in Sifkat and Yudzayin, there are Simon Kuf Samach Tes, Sifkat and Yudzayin, Kuf Samach Tes, Sifkat and Yud Zayin. Now we learn out the psul of Dayanim from the psul of Edom. So just like by Edom, Nimsa Echad Karva Pasal, even if I have 100 Dayanim, they're all knocked out. Same thing by Dayanim. So what should emerge then is this machlokes may be relevant for geiris as well. So let's say you have a geiris done in front of four dayanim, and nimsa echa karva pasul. So if we assume mishpach sivvei that dine geiris are equivalent to dine mamonis, and by dine mamonis we require, we assume that there is a psul of nimsa echa karva pasul by dayanim as well. So according to Rashi, the psul is only that you need a quorum. So let's say you knocked out one of the four dayanim, you still have a quorum of three. According to the Ritva, the Nimka Yosef, and the Gon, even if I knock out one of them, I say nimsa echa karva pasul, and everything is batal. So in this case, from the 1970s, apparently the story was that for the Kabbalah HaMitzvos, there were four rabbis / dayanim present. For the tefillah, there were only three, but for the Kabbalah HaMitzvos, there were four. So four tefillah, Machlokes Rishonim, as we discussed, is Beis Din Ma'akev. So the rabbi who gave this plaque was willing to rely on the following. So we can rely on the position that Beis Din is not Ma'akev for tefillah. So even if I had a puzzle of Beis Din, a puzzle of Dayan present for the tefillah, I don't need a Beis Din for tefillah at all. I need a Beis Din Likuva for Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, but in this case, there were four people present at the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. There were the three Dayanim, and there was another person who was a Kasher Dayan who happened to be in the room. He didn't have in mind that he was sitting on the Beis Din. He just happened to be there. So there were four people who witnessed the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So this tshuva, this plaque, was assuming that we don't say Nimsa Echa Karva Pasul by Dayanim. And even if you knock out the father or the son, you still have three people present for the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So then you can rely on that to say there was a good geiris. Russell.
Why would you knock out either the father or the son?
You have to knock out one of them.
But why specifically only one of them? Meaning,
because
how can you arbitrarily choose?
Well, you can choose whichever one you want. The point is that two of the three are kasherim. You can't have two kofim on a Beis Din. So it doesn't make a difference which one you knock out. I have two. The father or the son can sit with the third dayan, and one of them can't sit. So I have two kasher dayanim, two non-krovim. Right? One's a karev. I have two non-krovim, and then the fourth person who's in the room.
So
that was the argument.
Once you take out one, even though they're both still technically.
They're groving to each other, but then the psul korva falls apart, falls off. There's no psul korva anymore. So this is making this argument is making a number of assumptions. Number one is making an assumption that you don't say nimsa echa karva pasul by dayanim. So that's a questionable assumption. That's a machlokas rishonim, as you just point out. And the Gaon assumes that you would say nimsa echa karva pasul here. So even if you have four people in the room for the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, if two of them are krovim, it could be that everyone is knocked out. And then he tried to bring a riot to this position from Yerushalmi and Horius and the Rashi and Shavuos, which I have a piece on this in my safe if you want to take a look, but I don't have time to do the analysis now. I don't think that either of those riots were compelling. But then there's another issue that he doesn't address either in this psak. So even if you assume that we're not worried about nimsa echa karva pasul by dayanim, and the fourth guy in the room could be mitzarif to the two people who aren't krovin to each other, and then you have a Beis Din, but he's also making an assumption that the fourth guy didn't have to have in mind that he's serving as a dayan for geiris. Do you need, if you have three people present who would constitute a Beis Din, do they have to know what they're doing? Do they have to have in mind that they are being the geir summon? Let's say you have three dayanim who are sitting poolside at the mikvah, and someone just walks into the room and says, "Rabbis, I'm going to be megayer now. Watch me dunk," and he jumps into the mikvah. So the rabbis have no interest in being megayer anyone. That wasn't their intent. So the fact that they see someone jump into the mikvah, let's say he was mekabel mitzvahs and he jumps into the mikvah without their permission, is that a good geiris? Do you need yedias hadayanim? Do the dayanim need to know what they're doing? So this relates to a famous comment of the Dogla Merivava, here in Nar Simen. The Dagal Mervav in Simen Reish Samaches Ifav writes the following. So the din is, we'll have to talk about this again in its own context, and Mechaber writes in Sivav, Nachris Cheniskaira Vihi Muberes B'na Ein Sarich Tevila. So Muberes Cheniskaira, this is a Gemara in Ayin Chesin Vamos, I will have to talk about, if a Muberes Cheniskaira, the Geiris on the mother counts for the Uber as well. So what's the status of the Geiris of the Uber, we'll have to talk about, but bottom line, it works. So the Dagmar Vav has a comment. Do they put the Dagal Mervav somewhere else in this edition? Oh, they put it in the Osir Mefarshim. Okay. Ready to go? Ah, here we go. Okay. Says the Dagal Mervav, Nachris in Iskaira. Im yadu habezdin b'shas tefila shi muberes adin pashit. So this din, that muberes in eskaira, the tefila works for the uber, that's pashit where the bezdin is aware that she's muberes. Avalam lo yadu habezdin shi muberes. Let's say they don't know that she's pregnant. She's not showing, or they're not paying attention, and she doesn't tell them that she's pregnant. Yesh li baza arichis tvarim v'tali bash li ravi v'in kamokam laharach. So Dagmar Rebava says that's questionable, whether such a geirus is going to be valid if you have a muberes in a skyra and the bezin is unaware that she's pregnant. So the bezin has in mind to be the guy or the mother, but they don't know that there's an uber inside of her. So the Dagal Mervav raises that question as to whether the geirus is a good geirus. The Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Yud Aleph assumes, he paskins, that the bezin does not have to have knowledge that she's muberes, because that's considered Uber Yerachimo. So even if they don't know that she's Muberes, but the Uber is considered an extension of the mother, so they don't have to have a specific idea that the mother is Muberes for the Geirus to be Chal on the Uber. Now, theoretically, the question of Yediyas HaDayanim for an Uber may not be the same as Yediyas HaDayanim in general. The case of the person who jumps into the mikvah without the Dayanim's knowledge, or our case where you have the fourth person in the room who had no intention of serving as a Bezdin, so that's not necessarily the same question as the question of Uber in either direction. Because on the one hand, it could be along the lines of the Aruch HaShulchan, that maybe the requirement of Yediyas HaDayanim by an Uber is different because of Uber Yerachimo. So we view the Uber as an extension of the mother, and therefore as long as Bezdin has knowledge that they're being Megayer to the mother, they don't have to have specific idea that she's pregnant. But in a regular case, so the person jumps into the mikvah, the Bezdin has to know that they're being Megayer. Or you could have said in the other direction, that maybe the requirement for Bezdin when it comes to Tevilas Ketanim is more rigorous than by a regular Geiris. You know, the Dagmar Vav also writes over here that even though there's a day in Rishonim, one day in Shulchan Aruch, that Bezdin is a Ma'ake for Tevila, that's true by the Geiris of a adult. But when it comes to Geiris of a Katan or a Ketana, where the whole Geirus is Al Das Bezdin, then you need Tevila Liikuva. So in theory, if the nature of the Geirus on the Uber of Muberes and Iskaira is that of a Gir Katan, which is itself a Machlokes, so then it could be the requirement of Bezdin there is more rigorous than the requirement of Bezdin by a regular case of Tevila. So in theory, you could argue this in either direction. Rav Jolti has an essay in that volume of Torah Sheva'al Peh that we've referenced before, Torah Sheva'al Peh, volume Yud Gimel, from, I think it was 1973. So Jolti raises this question, whether if a ger is niskayer, the way he puts it is a ger is Nifgayer b'fnei Gimel Hedyotos, who didn't have Kavanah to be Dayanim. They had Kavanah to be Edom. They didn't realize that you need a Beis Din for Geirus. They just thought you need Edom. So they had in mind that this person is going to the Mikvah, and they're going to say Edus that he was Megayer. But they didn't know that you actually need a Beis Din to affect the Geirus. So Rav Jolti quotes from the Tshuvas Chemdas Shlomo that we've quoted previously, in Simen Kaf Tes Os Kaf Dalet, Simen Kaf Tes Os Kaf Dalet, that you need to have Yediyas HaDayanim. You need the Beis Din to have Kavanah that they're affecting a Geirus. And what's his Raya? His Raya is from the Gemara in Kedushin Samach Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara in Kedushin Samach Beis Amid Beis says that this is in the context of Ne'emanus, that Geirus is not considered biyado. So there's no kind of migo, there's no kind of ne'emanus given to a ger that he should be believed that he was a megayer because it's biyado. If he wanted to, he could affect the Geirus now anyway. The Gemara says, mi yemer demizdaka kule, it's not biyado. Who's to say that a Beis Din is going to listen to him? That sounds like you need a Beis Din to have kavanah l'geirus. You can't just jump into mikvah in front of three random people. They have to have knowledge of what they're doing. And then Rav Jolti also quotes from Yeshua Kutner, which Rav Schechter expands upon. And this is printed in a piece in the Guinness Egos, Simen Lamed Hei Os Hei. Rav Schechter points out over here that the role of Beis Din and Geirus isn't a Beis Din for Psak. It's not that they're paskening a Shaila. It's not that they're being a Dan Adin Torah. But it's a Beis Din Likium, a Beis Din doing a Maisa Beis Din. So just like the Beis Din for Chalitza is doing a formal Maisa Beis Din, the Beis Din for Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur, a Beis Din for Smicha Sekenim, so it's a Maisa Beis Din. It's not a Psak, it's not a Din Torah. And he quotes Rav Shula Kutner in the Yeshuas Yisrael on the Choshen Mishpat Simen Gimel. The way Rav Schechter quotes this Yeshuas Yisrael is a slight embellishment of what it says in print. The way Rav Schechter quotes it is that there are two related questions and Kusha Achas Mitaretz Shneim. That on the one hand we know that we learn out the formal components of Geirus from Mam and Harsina, the Gemara increases Aftesa we started with. That's how we learn out Mila Tfila and Ertzaz Dam. But there's another requirement of Geirus that we have, which is the requirement of a Beis Din. So where do we find that there's a Beis Din at Mamon Har Sinai? And if you'll tell me, well, Moshe was B'Mokam Shivim V'Echad Kai, that Moshe himself had the status of a Beis Din of the Beis Din Agadol, so then you should require a Beis Din Agadol to do Geirus, and that we don't have. So if we learn out all the components of Geirus from Mamon Har Sinai, where is the Beis Din of Mamon Har Sinai? And the flip is that at Mamon Har Sinai there was Hashras HaShechina. And where's the Hashras HaShechina? By regular Geirus. So the way Rav Schechter presents the Yeshuas Yisrael is that it's all the same answer. That the role of Beis Din for Geirus is the stand-in, so to speak, for the Shechina. At Mamon Har Sinai, you have the Shechina, and the Shechina was mekabel all of Klal Yisrael into Klal Yisrael. The Shechina was mekabel everyone into the bris between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And Lidoros, we don't have the Shechina, but we have Beis Din that fills in for the Shechina, so to speak. So that's how we know you require Beis Din. It's true, there wasn't a Beis Din at Mamon Har Sinai because there was something better. There was the Shechina. Now we don't have the Shechina every time we do a Geirus, so the Beis Din is the stand-in, so to speak, for the Shechina. But then it stands to reason that if you have, if that's the role of Beis Din, that Beis Din is representing the Shechina in bringing someone into Klal Yisrael, it stands to reason that Beis Din has to know what they're doing. They can't just be sitting there without Yediyah, without conscious decision to be Mekabel someone who's a Geir. They have to have full Yediyah about what they're doing. So if someone were to jump into the Mikvah in their presence without their acquiescence, so that wouldn't be a good Geirus. So even if you assume, even if you were to assume, you were to take the position of Rashi in that side of the Mishnah Melech, that Nimsa Achakar Apostle doesn't apply to Dayanim, but if you have someone in the room who didn't intend to be a Dayan, you have potentially a bigger problem or another problem of Yediyas HaDayanim, that a Dayan along the lines of the Staglam Revava, a Dayan has to know what he's doing, what he's functioning as when he is Mekabel Ager. The Rosh Hashanah points out that there's a tshuva in Igros Moshe that doesn't quite sound like this, that he finds difficult to understand. Moshe is in Yoredeya Chelik Bey Simon Kuf Kuf Beis. Avi. Yeah. Ginas Ego Simon Lamed Hey Os Hey. Simon Lamed Hey Os Hey. So Ramosha there is talking about a case where there is a child who was adopted by Jewish parents, and he already had a Mila, but it wasn't clear what that Mila, what was the purpose of that Mila? Was that done as a medical circumcision? Was it done for the purpose of Geirus? So Moshe writes, that maybe we could be mistapic that the people who gave the Mila had some intention of Geirus. And even if they didn't intend to serve as a Bezdin, but maybe they thought that it's sufficient to bemal the kid to be Jewish. And maybe that's good enough. So Moshe seems to entertain that you can rely on the conjecture, not to require a hatafa, that maybe even if the mila wasn't done in front of a bezdin, but it was done by people who thought it would help the guy become Jewish, and you don't really need bezdin likuva. So there's maybe a little bit of a mashmaus here, that the requirement of Yediyas HaDayanim is not as stringent. Rav Schachter also thinks that this issue, or this perspective, that Bezdin is functioning as the surrogate for the Shechina in B'Makabel Gerim to Klal Yisrael, is also relevant to the question as to whether a Ger can function as a Dayan for Bezdin for Geiris. This is something that we had to deal with a few years ago. We discovered that there are two instances of members of the American Rabbinate who were themselves Gerim, and had been serving as Dayanim for Geirus in their respective communities. So what is the issue there? So the Gemara tells us in Yevamah, Sandaf, Kuf, Beis, Amin, Aleph, Amar Rava, Ger, Danes, Chaveiro, Dvar Torah. So a Ger is allowed to serve as a Dayan for another Ger. Shenemar, Thom Tassim Alach HaMelech, Asher Yechar Hashem Alokach HaBo, Mikar V'chacha Tassim Alach HaMelech, Alechu Debina Mikar V'chacha, Aval Ger Danas Chaveir Ger. So a ger is allowed to be done another ger, but it sounds like a ger is not to be done, allowed to be done a Yisrael. And the Rishonim were all bothered, Rashi tells us there and elsewhere, that seems to be against the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Yevam Miskuf Beis says, ger danus chavero, so it sounds like a ger can only be a dayan for another ger, but can't be a dayan for born Yisrael. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Vav Amud Beis says, Hakol kishev ladin dine maminus, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara says, lasuya ger, that even a ger can be done dine maminus. It sounds like a ger can be done dine maminus, even for another Yisrael. So Rashi in Yevamos kufal from a beis, dibur maskul ger dan, kufal from a beis, dibur maskul ger dan, sorry, kufal from an aleph. Rashi Yevamos Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph Dibur Maskul Ger Dan. So Rashi says the difference between the Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Sanhedrin is whether we're talking about Dine Nefashos or whether we're talking about Dine Maminus. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about Dine Maminus. So when it comes to Dine Maminus, a Ger is allowed to be done even a Yisrael Gamur, even a born Yisrael. And it's only by Dine Nefashos where a Ger cannot be done a Yisrael from birth. So dina nefashos, a ger can only be done ger chavero. Dina maminus, there's no restriction on a ger serving as a dayan. And Tosos in Sanhedrin there, lamed vav amud beis dibur maskul chada. Tosos in Sanhedrin lamed vav amud beis dibur maskul chada assumes not like Rashi. Then the Gemara says hakol kisherim ladun. That's only talking about ger chavera. So even by dine maminus, a ger can only be done another ger, but can't be done a Yisrael gomer. So bottom line, machlokas Rashi Tosos, can a ger be done a Yisrael b'dine maminus? According to Rashi, yes. According to Tosos, no. The Mechaber Paskins, Yoredeya Simen Reish Samach Tesif Yud Aleph, Yoredeya Simen Reish Samach Tesif Yud Aleph, like Tosos, that a ger cannot be done another Yisrael b'dine maminus. Then there's a third opinion of the Baalei Tosfos, which is quoted by the Shach in the beginning of Kosher Mishpat Siman Zayin, that a ger can be done another Yisrael either shelo b'kfiya, where he's not forcing the Yisrael to come in front of the Bezdin, or Bekiblu Elayu, where the Ger, where the Nida and the Baal Din accept upon themselves the authority of the Ger. Yeah.
So, right, so according to the Chaber, I mean, I guess the question of whether a Ger can be a rabbi is, it's often interesting to get, but...
Right, but you don't have to be a rabbi to be a Dayan.
Right. But these are issues. Everyone would agree that Ger can't get Gerdin Yanin Smifa?
I'm sorry?
Like everyone would agree that Ger can't get Gerdin Yanin Smifa?
Well, Gerdin Yanin Smifa is a matter of knowledge, so it doesn't mean that they... it's a degree. You don't have to use a degree. When Rabbi Reis was the Menahel here, he was makbid to tell incoming smicha students who were gerim that there may be certain restrictions on their ability to function in the rabbinate, leaving aside the straw question of everybody in general, but at least for Dayanis functions, there would be significant matters that they couldn't be involved in. But yes. Okay, so the question is, how do we extrapolate to a dayan for geiris? So is it analogous to dina maminus? Is it analogous to dina nefashos? Or is it something else? So presumably, if you wanted to say it's analogous to dina maminus, ger mishpach sivbe. So by dina maminus, we paskin litosis that a ger can't be done a Yisrael gamor. Then it could be that Gerish couldn't be a dayan for Geris. There's a tshuva of Shlomo Kluger, which is printed in the new volume of Tuv Tam Adas, Chelek Hei, One second. Avi Simon Tafkub Sadi Hey, that makes this analysis and assumes, bottom line, that since we assume mitosis, a ger cannot be a dayan for a gear, even li'ikuva. Although one could argue that maybe it's even like dinei nefashos, that maybe geiris is more chamor than a regular dinei mamonis because it could have certain dinei nefashos ramifications. That based on someone's status as a Jew, that could have dinei nefashos ramifications for arayos. Gabi.
I just want to make sure I understood that. It seemed like I heard wrong. Mm-hmm. But because Mishpat is linked to Geras, so if we assume that a Ger can't be a Dayan for Yisrael in general, and therefore that's true in the Mominus case, and it's true in a Dine Geras case as well. That's the presentation you
right.
just made.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Rosh Shachter says something else here. Rosh Shachter points out, based on this approach, that the role of Bezdin is to accept someone in the Klal Yisrael as the surrogate, so to speak, for the Shechina, so then that may even be more than Dinei Nefashos. That's a higher level of Bezdin. And he quotes the Sefer Shalmei Shmuel. Shmuel Yalev was a Rav in Syracuse in the beginning of the 1900s, was a Diuk. In Rashi, Kiddush and Samach Beis Amid Beis. Rashi there writes, this is a parallel to our Gemara in Yevamos Membav, Ger Tzarech Shlosha Mishpachsiv Bei. Rashi writes, Shlosha, Gimel Yisraelim. Why does Rashi write Gimel Yisraelim? As opposed to what? Three monkeys, three goyim. So obviously, what's the Kiddush? So Yahweh says, it must be that he's coming Lafuke Gerim. That even according to Rashi, when general holds that Ger is Dinas Chaveiro, even by Dina Nefashos, but here where Bezdin has a different role as the surrogate of the Shechina on behalf of Klal Yisrael, so then Ger would be excluded from serving in this capacity. There are Makilim on this question. Rav Felder, Gedalia Felder, Nachal Tzvi, Chelik Beis, page Reish Kavav, Reish Kav Zayin, Chele Beis Reish Kavav, Reish Kav Zayin, assumes it's a Davar Pashat, that a Ger could be on a Dayan for Bethan Legeris. Maybe, it sounds like even Lechav Chila, but maybe that's considered to be Ger Danes Chaveiro HaGer, because you're accepting another Ger. And there's some other Achronim who take this approach as well. So when we had to deal with this issue, you know, we were faced with certain post facto cases where we determined that Geiris, or realized that Geiris had been done with a Bezdin that included a Ger. So Rav Shachter felt that that Geiris was invalid even b'dieved, based on his approach. And Rav Schwartz, yeah, Bezdin, thought that l'chachila we should definitely redo the Geiris. But in a situation where it would be impossible to redo the Geiris, he felt that you can rely on Raffelder and the others that were willing to be mako on the Geiris done by a Bez, including a Ger. Okay. Yeah, Alex.
So then the RCA base is not choshesh for a chapter.
We are choshesh, but if push comes to shove, it's a lechachila matter, but if push comes to shove, Rav Schwartz felt that in a very b'dieved situation, you could rely on such a geiris.
But if there was a possibility of redoing it,
then we recommended, in the cases that we found out about, we recommended redoing it. Okay, they have more, another piece of my sefer on this topic, which you can take a look at, that has more marmor combos, but we're mekatzer due to lack of time. Okay, so our next topics, I guess the next couple will be next Monday, Meretz Hashem. We're going to talk about the Seder of Mila Tvila Likuva Lichachila, and then we'll talk about Mila, and then talk about Tvila. Okay?